Friends, I hope you will keep that passage of Scripture open so that we might think about it together. But I want to begin reading from a different book. Just recently, I've been reading The Lord of the Rings to Esther, to my daughter, and it's a privilege and a challenge. It has 1,069 pages, so the Bible is still better endowed if you're counting pages. Of course, the Bible is a much more important book to read, but one of those moments, I wonder if you remember it from this story, or perhaps you've seen the films. Sam and Frodo are on the very borders of Mordor. They have climbed up that most difficult of stairways, and they are in that most darkest of places, and they are trying to reflect on what on earth they're doing. Why are we here? And so we read this. "I suppose so," said Sam. "We shouldn't be here at all if we'd known more about it before we started. But I suppose it's often that way. The brave things in the old tales and songs, Mr. Frodo, adventures, as I used to call them. I used to think that they were things the wonderful folk of the stories went out and looked for because they wanted them, because they were exciting and life was a bit dull, a kind of sport, you might say. But that's not the way of it with the tales that really mattered, or the ones that stay in the mind. Folk seem to have just landed in them. Their paths were laid that way, as you put it. But I expect they had lots of chances like us of turning back. Only they didn't. And if they had, we shouldn't know, because they'd have been forgotten. We hear about those as just went on. And not all to a good end, mind you. At least not to what folk inside a story and not outside it call a good end. I wonder," said Frodo, "but I don't know. And that's the way of a real tale. Take any one that you're fond of. You may say or guess what kind of tale it is, happy or sad ending. But the people in it don't know, and you don't want them to know." And then he goes on and recounts an old tale, which, if you know Tolkien, has been written and can be read elsewhere. And he ends by saying, and why, sir, I never thought of that before. We've got you some of that light of it in the star glass that the lady gave you. Why, to think of it, we're in that same tale still. It's going on. Don't the great tales never end?" "No, they never end as tales," said Frodo. "But the people in them come and go when their parts end it." You see, the story goes on. The story goes on. Have you ever wondered how we got to this point today? A church here in Manningtree. A man by the name of Ian getting baptised. If you want to know a little bit of that history, you can ask Andrew. He's been here for the majority of it. And I take great delight in sitting over a cup of tea and hearing about the early days of this church. But how did that happen? How did we get here? I want to share with you this morning another part of the story you have already seen played out in front of you this morning in Ian's baptism. It's recorded for us in the Bible text that we've read. Because Ian's story this morning is linked dramatically, conclusively, to what we've read in John's Gospel. It's the same account still going on. The same great mission still going on. We're reading the account of the life of Jesus Christ in John's Gospel. According to the Apostles' Creed, this Jesus is God the Father, Almighty's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. That's Jesus, the account of his life. And it's part of that account that we read afterwards. Jesus appeared again to his disciples. That first word in John 21 verse 1. Afterwards is after all of that. After the death, the resurrection. This morning is an afterwards from this. We're going to meet the risen Lord Jesus as he meets the disciples for breakfast, the start of a new day. Just like today is a new start for Ian. He goes on today having taken this great step of obedience, and he can move on looking for new steps and new commitments, using those gifts that he told us he is praying for and has known God's blessing in. And actually, looking back here, it began with the disciples being obedient. I wonder if you pick that up in chapter 21 and verse 1. The disciples had been told to go to Galilee and wait there, just as Ian this morning has followed the Lord's command to be baptized. And then, I presume, because they needed food, and because it's not good for men to be idle, and because they could earn the fish and sell the fish and earn a living, and because of so many things, they do what they do naturally. These men are fishermen, and they go fishing. Seems to me like a good thing to do. Rather glad it wasn't me there. I'd have gone out for a bike ride or played golf or something else, which was not perhaps the most helpful thing. But these men stuck together as a group and went fishing. And having fished all night and caught nothing, they returned to the shore. And in the early morning, the first light of day, there's a man standing on the shore. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we are challenged again. The cross and the resurrection and all that we've remembered at Easter isn't the end of the account. Something more is coming. Otherwise, the gospel would have finished where we read it last week. Otherwise, we could have stopped at Easter. And that is Jesus' purpose here as he meets the disciples on this occasion. New day, new start, things are carrying on. I've got a job for you to do. That's what Jesus is doing as he meets the disciples. And it's the most important work they could ever do. And yes, it is fishing, just not fishing for fish. And Jesus' lesson, his first lesson, is a practical lesson. I don't know if you like me. When I was at school, I always liked the practical lessons. Did you like practical lessons at school? Always had a bit more freedom to explore and to do things and to work it out for yourself. Well, Jesus makes this a very practical lesson for the disciples. He takes the thing that they're doing and uses it to instruct them. The fishing that they're doing for fish on the lake becomes the instruction for the fishing mission that he's about to send them on. Tell me again, would you? How do the fishermen you know like it when somebody gives them advice as they're going past? Are there, I've got one down here who might well be a fisherman. You're not normally very popular, are you? If as you go past in your or canoe, saw a great big pike over there in the sunshine. It's not the most popular thing to say, is it? Or you're on the boat and my echo sounder showed up a big shoal over there. You know, you're not well received as a rule, are you? Well, this group give the advice a go. It's an interesting point there. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking and they give the advice a go. Now, they haven't quite recognized him yet, but that point will come out of the rest of the rest of the account. They give it a go. They throw the net over the right side of the boat and they cannot get it back in. They cannot get it back in. It's just too heavy. And they have to land the net towed next to the boat. And when they do, they count the fish. You see, they are true fishermen. Only true fishermen would count the fish. Only true fishermen would remember that it's 153 big ones. And even that catch found in obedience to the instruction is part of the message. And John recognizes Jesus. And he says to Peter, it's Jesus. And you've got a hint of resurrection morning when John and Peter are at the tomb. And John doesn't go in and Peter goes in. And John goes in afterwards and sees and believes. And here's Peter, the man of action. He was probably stripped for action on the boat down to his underclothes. He grabs his garment because this is the Lord and I'm not going to meet the Lord undressed. He wraps his robe around him and then he wraps it up so as he can leap out of the boat. And I don't know whether he swam or he waded to shore. He wanted to meet Jesus. Wanted to hear what he had to say. Wanted to be with his Saviour. I hope the other six forgave him. It was a jolly heavy boat they had to bring in to shore, wasn't it? But he left them to it because he wanted to be with his Saviour, with his Master. Well, before we go any further, we need to unpack some of the meaning. I've said it was a practical lesson. What is the Lord teaching to these fishermen? Remember, they've caught nothing on their own. But with Jesus, the net in the right place, the obedience, they catch 153 whoppers. Well, Jesus didn't just tell us about the fish. John didn't write this down so as we know about the fish. We're learning about the mission that we're on. We're learning about how the account continues, how the story starts with Jesus Christ after resurrection and ends, as far as we've got today, with Ian being baptized here, and yet goes on further, as we shall see. The first truth about this mission that Jesus is teaching the disciples that they are on is that even though he's not there in the boat with them, they have to follow his lead. They have to follow his orders. They have to obey his commands. Back in chapter 15, Jesus had said, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." And here is the positive on the other side of that. With me, you can do everything. Follow my rule. Follow my command. Do as I ask. Follow my lead. And you will know blessing and grace and success. You see, even though Jesus is not here today in person, the work is still going on. Ian has been baptized. And indeed, from today and going forwards, Ian is not excused any further service because he's been baptized today. He must go on and serve the Lord. And we've heard about that and we know that that is his and Carlene's plan. And the disciples learnt this message, learnt this lesson on that day. And because of their diligence in writing the scriptures down and preaching the message and obeying the Lord, the mission continued. And it went through the Acts of the Apostles and into the early church. And if you follow it through, you can follow it through all of human history, through the Reformation. And if you want to, you can trace the history of how it came here. And under six or seven people, they started a church here. And how this church, Trinity Free Church, ended up being here. And if you do that, you'll be amazed at how God is keeping his mission going. Well, the mission has been going all this time. And this, I think, is what we could call as a handle for this first point, the secret of effective mission. Jesus is at work now through us. We need to be about his work. And if we work with him and follow him, the mission will go on through us and be successful. The secret of effective mission. Jesus is still at work. Will you work with him? Let me give you a second point. The account goes on. You see, the account goes on and the story of our lives go on. And we must talk about these 153 whoppers, mustn't we? There has to be a point to this. Any fisherman's story, there's a point to the catch. What does it mean? That the net can't come into the boat? That it has to be rowed ashore alongside the boat? What do we learn about the mission that Jesus is sending the disciples on that has come even to us today? From the 153 whoppers. When we stay in the will of our Lord, when we follow his commands and do his will, when we are about his mission, we can truly expect great things. We can truly expect great things. That should be our hope. It should be our expectation. It is a great thing this morning that Ian has come to the waters of baptism. It is a great thing. And it will be a great thing when those of you who have seen and heard, or perhaps some of the young people, come forward and say, "Do you know what? I need to do that too." And we will see the mission going on and new great things coming as fruit of it. So we might call this, as a handle, the scope of the mission. If the secret of the mission is Jesus is at work and we need to work with him, then the scope of the mission is this: expect great things. This is not a little outing. This is not a little fishing trip on the lake like the boys have done so many times before. We'll go out tonight, we'll be back in the morning. No problem, no worry. We'll just catch a few fish, we'll sell a few, we'll eat a few. It's not a little everyday trip. The mission with the Lord Jesus Christ is the mission of the greatest things, of the salvation of souls, of people rescued from an eternity in hell for an eternity in heaven. There is no greater mission that we can be about. There is no greater result than the one that was promised to Abraham, that the number of people who will be in heaven with him as his children, those who are in Christ, will be an uncountable number, more than the grains of sand on the seashore and the stars in the sky. Now that's a mission. And it has a great scope. It's a big undertaking. It requires our full commitment, and it will be rewarding. And Ian, I hope you will know that blessing in the days ahead as you have set your heart to the mission today. So today, we have seen a great thing. Another person has declared for Jesus in the waters of baptism. Now, if I may be so bold, Ian was caught in the net as one of the 153 whoppers some time ago. He was in there. It's taken him a little bit longer than most to come to this point. But in truth, today, that's not the issue. In truth, today, the issue is he's one of those fish caught on that mission. Not the fish. The fish was just a picture. The disciples went out fishing for men. And their message goes out today, fishing for men and women and children. It's fishing for you. So what then of the future? How will this mission go on for the rest of today? For the rest of this week? It began on a seaside in Galilee 2,000 years ago when Jesus said, "Let me make you fishers of men." It was reconfirmed at this point after his resurrection when he met them fishing and said, "Fish the way I tell you and expect great things." You can read in the Acts of the Apostles how it began. You can look through human history. But what about the future? You see, the mission hasn't finished. The mission is going on even now, today. The mission will go on until the Lord our God sends Jesus Christ back to be with us again. And at that time, Jesus explained what would happen like this. "The kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So you see, the thing is this. When the net is gathered in, are you a good fish? Or will you be thrown away? Using our metaphor of the day and the catch of fish, we could look at it like this. The net's out there. The Lord Jesus Christ is looking for people to catch them. And you want to be his. You want, at the end, for him to say, "This one's mine. I will keep him. I will keep her." It's what Ian has done today. He said that Jesus Christ is his Saviour and Lord. But the other option is truly terrible. The net is gathered in, and either you're not in it, or the Lord Jesus Christ's angels look at it, look at you, and say, "This is a bad fish. This is just rubbish," and throw you away. Hell is pictured here. and it's dreadful. Can I invite you to consider this from the fish's perspective for a moment? Which is where you might be this morning. The net is cast wide. The Lord Jesus Christ loves you dearly and would have you come in and be caught and named as his. But fish aren't blind and deaf and dumb, are they? If you're a fisherman, you know it sometimes takes a bit to catch them. There is a choice involved. The Lord Jesus would have you in his net, would name you as his own. Are you swimming for the edge? Are you trying to get away? Do you want to be part of this future mission and be caught first in the net, declare your allegiance to the Lord, and then become a fisherman yourself and go on to the future? Or will you swim on by? Take your chances out there in the great wide sea. Turn away from the Lord Jesus Christ, who would catch you and have you as his own. This mission began on the shores of Galilee with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's continued here this morning before your very eyes. It continues until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Join in. Name Jesus Christ as your Lord. Be one of his catch and become one of his fishers of men and women and children. Will you be a part of this great mission? Ian is, I am, many here today are. What about you?